Thank you so much for tuning into a service with Hope Family George. We hope it inspires you and helps you with your journey with God.
Well, I want to say thank you to our dream team, to each and every one of you. You really are amazing. We really appreciate you. We don't always get to tell you or even speak to you on Sundays because we're all looking out for new people, right? We're all looking for new faces to greet them. So we all can't just hang out on Sundays. It's not about us. We're here to make new people feel welcome. So we just want to say thank you for helping us. Thank you for serving. We appreciate you more than you'll ever know. And something that we really want for you is that you grow. Anybody wants to grow? I don't want to stay the way I am. I don't want to stay stuck. I want to grow. And that's our desire for you, is that you grow and that you keep growing and that your family grows. And an axiom we have here at Hope Family is that change is the heartbeat of growth. Is change easy? Apparently only 15% of people, according to statistics, 15 say no, they love change. Change is so exciting. I think then most of us are somewhere in between. We take a while, but let's just check, you know, how's it going? If everybody else is buying the latest jacket or technology, and then we'll jump on, right? We like it, but we just want to see someone else must just go and try it out for us. And then apparently there's a percentage that just won't change. And I don't think that's good. We must try and be flexible because change is the heartbeat of growth. And when we grow, we don't grow when everything's going hunky-dory and everything is just perfect. Have you noticed that in your own life? We grow in the seasons when it's uncomfortable, when it's hard, when it's not easy, and when we feel a little bit stretched. So don't hold back. Embrace change. Maybe for you it's as simple as having to start wearing a red shirt because you plain Jane, you like gray and neutrals, and now suddenly you have to put on this red shirt and everybody tells you you look lovely in red, and you... Maybe that is just a little bit of change for you. Maybe you've been asked to sit in the front row and engage and smile, and it's a bit awkward for you at first, but you know what? The more you do it, the more you actually get to enjoy it and you understand, like Lisa, you look like you're very comfortable with it. And then your name gets mentioned from the front, and but you know what? Change is inevitable. We can come to Sunday and someone else sits on our seat. And that's okay, because we shouldn't always sit on the same seat. I actually once came to church, and I wanted to greet a new person in the church. She sat maybe where Kayla is sitting, and I went and I sat on the seat in front of her, and I said, hello, started talking. And a lady actually came to stand next to me with a handbag. And at first, I was, this cannot be happening. This is what other pastors talk about, you know? And the lady actually said to me, hi, you're sitting on my seat. And I was like, oh, my word, this is actually really happening. And I'm like, yeah, we don't actually have seats, you know. We can just sit anywhere, but, you know, that's okay. And but try another seat or something. I want to encourage you to stretch yourself a little bit, you know. And even though it is hard, do it, because you will actually grow. And it is exciting to grow. The essence of Christianity is that we change and we don't stay the same. That is very good news. God is molding and shaping you and me into the likeness of Jesus. If we are not changing, what's happening to us? We might be slowly moving backwards and lose our salvation eventually. It's not easy to lose your salvation. Very hard to lose your salvation. You must really decide, I'm turning my back on God now. You know, we all often go one step back, two steps forward, one step back. So don't now worry about backsliding. Don't even know why I mentioned that now. God's hands are so big. We can't just jump out His hands. He's always holding us and always bringing us closer to Him. But if we slowly but surely become lukewarm, the Bible does talk about that, you know. We can eventually turn our own backs on God and say, you know what, I'm no longer going to serve God. I'm going to embrace a lifestyle that doesn't honor him. So let's make sure we embrace change and we grow. In 2 Timothy 2, the Apostle Paul was speaking to Timothy and he spoke to him about ministry. So we all here are in ministry. If you're on the dream team, you're in ministry. And the Apostle Paul used mental models to teach Timothy. He used the mental model of a soldier, the mental model of an athlete, the mental model of a farmer. Who relates to a farmer? Let me see. Isn't that you, Paul? Paul was a boer geweest. And the mental model of an athlete, persevere. And a soldier? Seth is a soldier at the back there. But let's read it together. 2 Timothy 2 verse 3. Overcome every form of evil as a victorious soldier of Jesus, the anointed one. For every soldier called to active duty must divorce himself from the distractions of this world so that he may fully satisfy the one who chose him. An athlete who doesn't play by the rules will never receive the trophy, so remain faithful to God. The farmer who labors to produce a crop should be the first one to be fed from its harvest. Carefully consider all that I've taught you, and may your Lord inspire you with wisdom and revelation in everything you say and do. Mental models are very good. And tonight we're going to look at a mental model for our own development, for our own growth. And we're going to use the mental model of a train. And I actually have a picture of the Atlantic Rail train. I received a message that this train is going to be operating again between George and Grootbrak. And we can be part, it's not an advert, no one's paying me for this, but they are selling tickets. I'm quite keen, everyone. I actually went to look at, if we can be part of actually something very historic. And yeah, I found this picture, so I thought since this is so relevant and happening next month, let's use this. So there's this mental model of the train, and then there's a track with two rails, right? So for the sake of the illustration, see yourself as the train engine. And then there are two rails for you to move forward. The one is competency and the one is character. So we need to grow as the engine. We need to move forward, but we have two rails to be on. So for us to move forward towards our destinies, we need to grow in character and we need to grow in competency. Both are actually really important. And that is what tonight is about. We're going to talk about character, growing in Christ, as well as afterwards, there's going to be practical training. We're going to break into our groups. You're going to get a blue chocolate. You happy? And while you eat your chocolate, your dream team leaders are going to do some training with you. So let's look at character. We need to grow in character. Mark 12, verse 30 to 31 says, "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." So when we think of character, you know, I think of this great commandment, we need to love God. And it's a question we all need to ask ourselves, why are we part of the dream team? And we can think of a lot of reasons, but the main reason should be because we love God. We just need to keep it simple sometimes. Yes, it's great to be part of a church's vision that wants to reach people that are far from God, and we're doing that. It's great to be a church as part of missions. It's great to be a church where we have fun. Well done again to our team dancing here, and some of you have stretched yourself. I saw those moves. Well done. Great initiatives. And you know, it's very important that we remind ourselves it's all about loving God. And it's okay to love your team. It's okay to love what you're doing. But we're doing it because we love God. We love his church. Jesus died for the church. And that's why we do what we do. We first love God, and then we love people. That can be harder than loving God sometimes. People are so unpredictable sometimes. Sometimes people can say things that shocks us. It was shocking. And sometimes people just do stuff that's annoying. But I want to encourage you to have double vision when you work with people. Have double vision. And what I mean with that is be honest and see what's happening in front of you. See the person, oh my word, they're being difficult. They still smoke and they think it's okay. They think there's nothing wrong with addiction. They swear so much and oh my word, they don't love the church. And see it as it is. You don't have to not see that, but have double vision. Also see them where God wants them to be. Have a picture of them surrendering their lives to Jesus and getting water baptized. Frame it in your mind and see them volunteering here on Sunday, joining the dream team. Be patient with people. Always have a soft heart. Hare op jou tanden, maar sagte hart. Thick skin. But a soft heart, you know. I love our slogan, so others may live. It's not about us. And to love other people, we really need humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. Our front row is just incredible. I gave them my notes beforehand. Completely prepped. Thank you, Abby. Just for staying there on track with everything. Just joking. I've shared this story with some of you before, but when we lived in Zambia, our first few years were very tough because we didn't see much fruit. People didn't really accept the gospel, and now we can see what the Lord has done. We look back years and years later, we have 349 churches, so many lives have been changed. But there was a season where I was working with a group of 15 children, 15 very naughty children, and they wouldn't listen to me. And I remember crying out to the Lord saying, I left my family behind, you gave up everything, we're in a foreign place, speaking another language, niemand praat hier Afrikaans, Hindi, and no one's listening to me, we're not even making a difference. All the kids I was working with were just not listening. And one day a team came from Cape Town and did an outreach with the children. They did worship songs, and the kids that I was discipling just absolutely were not worshiping. They were just running around, naughty. I was embarrassed, and I'm thinking, this is it. I'm not going to carry on doing this. And I said to the Lord, Lord, is this even worth it? And I just remember in the corner of my eye, I caught a little boy, and his name was Nyambe. He was so dirty, and he was standing. He was the only one with his hands out, with a dusty face. And while the team was doing worship and the others running around, a tear went down his eye. And I felt the Lord say to me, never underestimate what I can do in one life. If it was just for Nyambe, it would have been worth it. And I was like, wow. And the Lord said to me, if it was just for Nyambe, I would have still sent my son Jesus to die just for him. Our efforts are never wasted. That's why I love our value, that every person is valuable to God and therefore to us. Even if we only touch one life this coming Sunday, it's more than worth it. And then also part of character is attitude. Did you know attitude is not a personality trait? Attitude is a character trait. Say this, my spirit, my choice. You choose your attitude. So often people will ask my personality. You know, I can work with anything. Paul knows this, our team knows this. Anything. You can make a big mistake. If you just have a good attitude, I'm okay. I'm cool. But the moment people start having a toxic attitude, like a bad, negative attitude, I don't know what to do. Because it is very difficult when people decide to have a bad attitude. Brom knows what I'm talking about. I can see we've all experienced that, right? But let's make sure that we have godly attitudes. We have the mind of Christ, so we can choose to think like Jesus. Any of us here can point out the faults in our church and things that are not right. We people, and where there's people, there's sometimes going to be chaos, and not everything's going to be perfect. There's no perfect church. We all know that. It doesn't take a genius to find fault. We can all make a list of 10 things now, but we don't want to go in that direction. Unless if it's something that can help the church grow, then of course we're going to come and say, hey, let's try this. And then guess what? Man with a vision or woman with a vision gets a job. So if you have a great idea to help our church, then help, you know? Because be willing to be a part of the solution. I love Philippians 2 verse 5 that says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Isn't this a powerful verse? I think it is absolutely powerful. So we can put the train picture up again. So we have the train, and it's moving towards Grootbrak. And the train has a track. There are two rails, character and competency. Now, the train needs fuel. Do you know what the fuel is? I hear Holy Spirit, and that's always a yes. But for the sake of my illustration, the fuel is feedback. But again, you need to have a great attitude if you're going to receive feedback. Because people want to help, then we give feedback. Hey, I've noticed you're always late on Sundays. How can we help you be on time? It's not you, MB, don't stress. She's laughing there. I don't know. That's a great attitude, though. But let's see how we can help, you know. Or you never bring your lanyard, you know. We really... name tag. We really want people to see your name. But a lot of people are laughing now. But sometimes we just know, but somebody just needs to help us remember or something. Hey, but let's be open to feedback and receive it so that we can move forward and grow and step into our destinies. And if we all keep growing, guess what? The kingdom of God will advance. So it's beyond our own growth. We actually put that feel in us. And you know who's the best at giving feedback? The Word of God. Because we go read His Word, it's like a mirror, and we're like, you know what? I need to realign this. I need to change here. But God also uses people to help us grow and to give us feedback. But what I want to say is that character is very important. Yes, competency is important, but talent is a gift, but character is a choice. And if all of us here were highly gifted, professional, skilled people, we're going to be a very impressive church. We all have PRO positions, and we're all professional musicians and baristas, all our own coffee shops. I mean, like, it's going to be impressive, right? But you know what? We won't be able to sustain that if we don't have the characters. I'd rather take just a group of ordinary people that say, hey, we're willing to learn. We're willing to get better with strong and deep characters. And that way, we'll be able to grow, reach many more people that are far from God. Many of you, Anna Paul and I, have seen great men and women, so talented, so skilled, coming into church leadership, and we're all like, wow. But guess what? They no longer always leading or in ministry, because their competency took them to a place where their characters couldn't keep them. So if we had to ask you which one to focus on more, character. And that's the one Satan also attacks. He would want us to become so good and, you know, think a bit more highly of ourselves than we should. But let's continue to grow in character. So how I want to end before we go into our practical training is, what you do really matters, but who you are becoming matter more. Your role on our dream team is important, but your growth is invaluable. Invaluable. So let's all continue to grow in character, in our love for God, in our love for people, in our attitudes, and in competency.
Stay in touch. We'd love to hear from you. Send through your prayer requests, praise reports, or any questions you might have to 062-214-2814. That's 062-214-2814.